Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us here on the program. We come your way each week on richarddugan.com and newspress.com. And we are also rebroadcast on A2Zen.fm. And we are also archiving these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. So lots of opportunities for you to listen to these programs. We link to our guests' websites, so you will be able to link to them as well and find out what they're all about. And we're very excited today. We're going to talk with a gentleman who, from what I have seen, in particular from some videos I've watched online and so forth, all the way from Canada, Chris Kaler, and you deal with a lot of interesting, how should I say, I almost want to say props, but they're more than that. They're actually tools.
You could call them props. They're actually tools that intensify and attract quantum energy and intent within our bodies, so I can use them for healing.
I know that being around these kinds of tools for a long, long time, 30 plus years, that it isn't so much, the tool is not per se, like you say, where the energy comes from. It just is, just like any sound amplifier does just that. It amplifies or intensifies the energy that you're working with.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Now, you're right and you're not in certain ways. I do carry certain tools that when you put this tool on the floor, you don't have to do anything. You stand over the tool and the tool does the work. I do have some tools like that, but yes, you're right. The tools that I do mainly use work as an amplifier and an antenna to bring in quantum energy to go in and work at the quantum level in the body.
Let's talk a little bit about that because I'm sure I'm not the only one, for a number of years back in the 80s, of course, the talk was all around, and this was more of an astronomical occurrence, all the talk was around the upcoming harmonic convergence and so forth. Of course, back in the 60s, it was talking about the age of Aquarius. I'm trying to figure that all out, which, by the way, as a side note, as far as astrology is concerned, and then, of course, going from the Piscean age to the Aquarian age, I noticed that that's just the reverse of the way that the zodiac actually runs. And I've not been given a good answer to that question yet, but maybe we might address that. I don't know. But one of the things that I've noticed is that we continue to have these different transition periods, transformational periods, these periods of time where certain energies are more pronounced. And I'm not talking about an astrology chart or, let's just say, events where you have Mercury in retrograde or not, when things are really good, the energy's good in the universe. But I'm sure you're familiar with it as well. I mean, we just went through one in 2012 where everybody was just all freaked out about the 21st of December. And I kept saying, do you remember Y2K? Think about that, and you'll be fine. Let's talk a little bit about those kinds of transitional periods, if we can, in terms of how and when your tools that you work with, which are really extraordinary. I've obviously seen the copper pyramids. Even you have a spiral in there somewhere, too, I think I saw. And I'm familiar with, you know, the various types of crystals, gemstones and so forth. And, I mean, think about it. With radio, one of the first kits that you could buy was a crystal radio set.
Quartz crystal, yes.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about that in terms of those, shall we say, transitional or transformational periods in time that we have been through, and I know we're going to go through many times, even in yours in my lifetime.
Right. That is a subject and a question that comes up for me a lot. Now, to put some perspective into the whole thing, what it's all about is a rise in consciousness. So the best way to describe it, instead of being able to see 10 feet in front of you, once this consciousness comes in, you'll be able to see infinity in front of you. And instead of just seeing a peripheral of, let's say, 40 degrees, now you can see 180-degree peripheral. So our consciousness and awareness about certain things, what's going on in the world and in our lives, is going to be heightened to a point where we know exactly what's going on and we know the answers. Instead of trying to find the answers, we more or less know the answers. So this is all called the fifth dimension shift. And the whole December 21st, 2012 thing, the whole scenario, there was validity to it, okay? Basically, what that time was a lock-in date where things are going to get locked in and this is going to happen. So it was more of an activation for all this to occur. Now, for everybody, it's going to be somewhat different as far as this consciousness shift goes. For a lot of people, what they're all of a sudden realizing is that the whole spiritual aspect of our lives and everything going on has validity. It is real, and there's something more out there than just what we're taught within religion. Okay, so basically, for me, in 2006, I believe it was when I became awakened. Let's call it awakened. I know that word is used a lot, but I realized that there is something else out there, particularly to help with health problems in the alternative field, and using the energy of the universe to do it. So I came to that realization, and a lot of people are starting to wake up. They're starting to say, "Hey, you know what? I saw this guy on YouTube, and I feel really good when I think about it. I should look into it." And all of a sudden, you open that door and you go in and you realize that there is so much more out there than just what we're seeing on TV, on the news, and what the governments are telling us. You're realizing that, hey, extraterrestrials do exist. Hey, spirits are out there that cause problems in our body. So the awakening process right now is happening at almost an alarming rate. So if you're starting to realize all these things happening, there's no such thing as a coincidence, then you are starting to go into that fifth dimension consciousness.
You mentioned at an alarming rate, and at the same time, we need as many people as possible to reach that state of awakening in order to make the transformations that we need. And it just seems like, okay, the more the merrier in one sense. I have to wonder how close some of our politicians are, or how far away they are from being awakened, in particular, because there certainly is not an interest in the public interest, in the people who they're supposed to be serving. And not to get all political, because it doesn't matter which party of the three or four or five that are representative, let alone the two main ones. It seems as though for so many years, decades, these folks have turned this into a full-time job, when in fact it's supposed to be a period of service.
Correct.
Like if you enlisted in the military. You're only there for so many years unless you want to make it a career, but it was never intended as a career choice. I think that the founding fathers would roll over in their graves if they thought that the people that are there now have turned this thing into a full-time job. So I'm wondering about the awakening that we're talking about, and a lot of people use that term, as you certainly did, to describe this process. Now, in terms of your awakening, you said that happened, what, back in the 90s, or no, 2006?
2006, 2000, more or less 2007. It was just over 8 years ago that my first wife passed away. And before I got into this line of work, let's call it, I was in the printing industry. I was running printing presses. I was in management. And I've done that for almost 30 years. It was my trade. This is what I did for a living. So when she passed away, she had a rare disease called scleroderma. So when that happened, it created a scenario that I can retire. So at 46 years old, I took a look in the mirror and said, "Chris, you've worked hard all your life since you're 16 years old. Let's take some time off." So I took my financial planner's advice, and I stopped working. And the old saying goes, one door closes, another door opens. And I literally walked into a door into some guy's shop where he does somewhat this type of work. And I took an interest in it. So he took me under his wing, and we started spending time together, and he would show me stuff, and I would take some courses and learn this and learn that. And I found that I was, you know, really grasping it very quickly. And within a year, I got people knocking on my door saying, "Chris, I heard that you can, you know, get rid of diabetes and asthma and these types of things." And so I just kind of went with it. And it was about 5 years ago, I decided I need to turn this into a business. So I opened a clinic, and now I'm full time Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. in my clinic, working with people all over the world. I work over Skype and the telephone. Because you're working with energy, you can do anything with it. And it's turned into a very, very functional and working business.
I know that it's important for us to find those opportunities that generate the funds that we need to ostensibly survive in our civilization, in our society. I don't know any animals that in nature that do that, but that's what we have to do. But at the same time, you also have to find something that brings you joy, that is part of your life's purpose. And it sounds to me like at that point, at that juncture in 2006, was it something that met both of those criteria?
It was more of this is kind of neat and made a hobby out of it, because as retired, I'm pulling a pension, so money wasn't an issue. And it was just something I wanted to learn, and I realized, okay, I can help people with this. And all my life, I've helped people with illness. My parents were always very ill as I was younger. And then, you know, my late wife, she was sick for quite a while. So in one way, shape, or form, I've always been kind of helping people along the way and caring for people with health problems. And I realize now that everything I've done in the past has prepped me to do this type of work now.
Okay. So when you started out on this path, was this kind of new in terms of the information that you were coming across, or were you just thrust into this and you had to really learn by the seat of your pants? Because as I say, I've been involved with a lot of the different subjects that we talk about on this program back when I was a preteen or teenager. And so none of this is really new to me.
Basically, I was kind of thrust into it. Now, of course, we all have premonitions, okay? You're thinking of a song in your head, you're singing it, all of a sudden you turn the radio on and there it is. Or things happen that seem like coincidences, but it's like, wow, that's too eerie to be a coincidence. And that's kind of happened to me basically all my life. And there are a few times where it was like, wow, that is just way out of this ballpark as a coincidence. So I realized that all those things that were happening was to do with my intuition. So in a way, I was kind of doing it at one time, and then now I realize what it's all about. So I was thrust into it, but knowing that I have been doing it on a certain level in the past.
Well, to me, it's extraordinary how here we are in the 21st century, not quite what I envisioned as a kid growing up, watching the various cartoons like the Jetsons and hoping for those flying cars. Although I'm not sure how practical that really is, based upon a lot of the mentality of a lot of folks today that are really kind of walking around, I hate to use this term, I'm going to find a different one here, they're walking around asleep.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
So how do you go about facilitating someone's awakening? I mean, if someone comes to you, usually isn't that because they've sort of been led to you? So aren't they already sort of awakened, if you will? You can't just walk up to people, here, let me open up your chakras. Let me wake you up. Exactly.
Basically, like I said, people start getting curious. of things. They see a video, they see another one, they hear somebody talking about it, and they get a little curious, and then all of a sudden something kind of pushes them and says, you need to be here. I've had people walk into my clinic said, you know, I've been driving by this place for the last 6 years and never knew what was really in here, and all of a sudden I feel the urge to come in here. So we've all got spirit guides and angels and all the deities around us that kind of guide us to do certain things. Just as I was guided and pushed into the door to meet this guy who does this type of work. Generally, most people who come to see me or seek me out are looking for a relief from a health problem. So what I do with my work is I use a pendulum, I use charts, and my guides through the pendulum will direct me to exactly what area of the body the health problem is in and what the problem is, whether it's a virus, a bacteria, spiritual attachment, or whatever. And then I use the pyramid to clear out the problem. So as we're doing this, as we're clearing out health problems, we're doing clearings of negative energies. So there's going to be negative energies such as spirits attached to your body. There's going to be curses and voodoo and all types of stuff, all kinds of dark energies like possible alien attachments and all these different demonic type of scenario that is within our body that is trying to keep our vibration down so we can't go through this new activation of consciousness. That's what it's all about. So as I'm doing this, as I'm doing these clearings, people begin to realize that there's something more out there. They begin to understand it a little bit because when I clear it out, they feel different. They feel better. They feel connected. Things happen. So they get more curious. And as the more work we do, I start doing more connections to connect this person's energy to this new consciousness that's coming in. And to do the right connections, do the right clearings, it's just like fine-tuning your radio to get the right sound out of it to hear what's on the radio. So by doing that, they start to realize, hey, I can all of a sudden envision things within my third eye. All of a sudden, I can get thoughts coming in that suggest I do something good and I do it and it works out for me. And, you know, answers to questions come in that you're thinking about. So when you start doing those things, people realize, yes, okay, this is all real. There's a validity to it, and we need to do more because people get a little addicted to it. But at the end of the day, the connections are made and people come to the realization.
What kinds of, how do you determine what tools to use for what individual?
I've got two specific tools that I use myself within my clinic. One of them is called a neutralization ring, and I use that for everybody. And what that ring does is it pulls negative energy out of your body from your chakra system, your physical body, and your aura. And that's negative energy you empath on a daily basis. You pick it up from, you know, people around you who kind of rub you the wrong way, or if there's something bad on the news, you might absorb that negative energy, and that kind of gets things flowing a little bit. But my mainstay is definitely the pyramid that I use. It's five different pyramids stacked on top of each other, and it's loaded up with quartz crystals and shungite crystals, magnets, and different sacred geometry symbols that facilitate my intent and amplify and connect to the universal quantum energy that's there. A lot of people call it the zero point energy, and that's a proper term, of course. And there's scientists all over the world who are trying to harness this zero point energy, like Tesla did a lot of really cool things with it to create free electricity. And this is all coming from the zero point, and this is all here for us to use at however we need to use it.
That's interesting, the zero point, because I was introduced to that. It's got to be 15 years ago by Greg Braden, who wrote a book called The Zero Point. And there was a video that a friend of mine gave me that introduced me to this gentleman. And I thought, this is wild stuff. I thought it was really cool. And of course, as time has gone on, we've just come across and created so many more really incredibly neat things, if you will, in terms of understandings of not that that I find that it's all that important to know how the universe works. I just don't see that that's real relevant at this particular point. It's more we need to find out how we work and what we're doing and the difference that we're making in the world. Very early on, I concluded, in spite of everything that that I heard from time to time, that I did not believe from a very early age in this business that this life was an accident and this world was an accident. Because if it were, then it wouldn't make any difference if I just spent my life raping, pillaging, and plundering the world. It wouldn't matter. Ergo, there's no meaning to this life. But there's something, I don't know what it is inside of me, that says there is meaning to this life. Ergo, I'm not out there doing those aforementioned things. I'm trying to help and assist others in helping to make this a better place for everybody.
Well, if you look at people in general, you've got basically two different types of people. You got people who are very kind-hearted, want to help people all the time and do good things for people. And then you got people on the other end who would not think twice about taking candy from a baby, okay? Let's put lawyers in there for crying out loud. Politicians, I mean, they would lie to you. They would say it's Saturday, but it's really Sunday. They would lie to you and make you believe something and take your money. Okay, so you've got light people. You've got dark people. Now, I want you to remember the saying in the Bible, as above, so below. So now you've got light and dark people on the planet. And within the realm of heaven, you've got God, Jesus, you've got the devil, you got Satan and Lucifer, you got all these dark and light, okay? It's a game called duality. So that we're always in this constant struggle with duality. You know, do you do something good? Do you do something bad? Do you go to work or do you stay home and just lay in bed? Okay, do you do something good or bad? So that is basically what our life is revolving around. Okay, people say that if there was no bad, we wouldn't know what good is. Well, I say what we could do is, you know, look back into history about how bad things were. So when this new consciousness comes around and all the bad stuff tends to go away, we're still going to know what good is by looking back in history.
I know that part of this process that you and I have gone through, and you had a catalytic event take place that propelled you forward. And it's funny, mine was such a gradual process. I worked for some 15 years for a Christian radio station. I had my pro-Catholic and anti-Catholic, pro-Protestant phase. And then I had the phase where I started questioning the statements that were being made, the doctrine and dogma, and it didn't make any sense to me. It didn't fit logically. And of course, as I said, I've been introduced to a lot of these other concepts that we'll call metaphysical. I like that term better than some of the others. And it just seemed to resonate. It seemed to make sense more so than the answers I was getting from the other quarters. And I'm wondering, too, if that's something that you had to deal with in your process in terms of even becoming the facilitator, if you will, of the healing of others through the tools that you have come across. And then we'll talk a little bit about those tools and how those came about and the different types you've got.
Yeah, I was brought up strict Mennonite, okay?
Really? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
My father is one of 12 kids. My mother is one of 17 kids. They're all born within what we call the Bible Belt of Manitoba, Canada, in the country. I went to church every Saturday every Sunday. And for me, it was the same thing. It was like, I just don't feel right here. Something is not right. And I would fight and kick and scream to get out of going to church on Sunday. And, you know, I've now come to realize what the problem was, is that I was not meant to be there. Okay. Spiritualism to me makes so much more sense. Just knowing and believing that there is a creator out there and he's got all these different spirits that work along with them to make the universe a functional reality in their own right is all you really need to know, okay? And just having a good heart and doing things for people is really all you need to do to know what's right and wrong. That's it. You know, the way I look at it is if you were born in the woods and you didn't know anything about church or anything about religion, you would still know in the back of your mind that there's something else there. There has to be. How can all this be here without something putting us here? Okay. So yeah, for me, church was not a comfortable feeling. I just had to get out of there.
I was lucky in the sense that at the time that I was delivering newspapers for the local paper in Phoenix, and Sunday mornings I'd get up very early, get on the bike, go out, deliver the papers, come back, and go to bed. Did not want to get up at 9 o'clock to go to 10 o'clock Mass, let alone noon Mass. And finally one day in my 16th year, my mother came to me and said, okay, it's time to get ready to go to church. And I said, I really don't want to go. She said, okay. And I was shocked. And about 9 years later, I remember asking her about that. I says, why did you do that? She says, because I didn't want you to push away from the church. It wasn't that she was so pro-Catholic. It's that she did not want me to generate negative energy towards that which had sort of, for a period of time, had actually nurtured me. And I still have very warm feelings for that church. I love the ritual, the ceremony, the symbolism. The incense and the candles doesn't hurt either. It's nice atmosphere. But it was really kind of cool. And so I was very appreciative of her perspective in that regard. I thought that was really very cool. Mm-hmm. And you don't always get that from a parent. And so I guess I was very, very fortunate to have done so. You know what we're going to do here? We're going to take a short break, and I want to come back and talk about the tools and how, first of all, how you came to develop them, where they came from, if you will, and then we'll talk a little bit more about where you see things going in terms of the work that you're doing, in terms of humanity as a whole, as well as other subjects that we'll talk about here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we're talking with Chris Kaler, and we will be back in just a few moments. Stay tuned.
Oh, come on, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my very best to understand you.
Doing our very best to understand one another here on the program. Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Chris Kaler is on my guest, and I guess one of the things that we might want to also address, Chris, in terms of the work that you do, is what is it that you, what would you say is your title? How do you refer to yourself?
I call myself a few different things. Holistic practitioner, quantum energy practitioner, quantum energy therapist. I mean, healer. There's so many different ways, but I guess the best way is just a holistic practitioner. I do work with nutrition. I do work in live blood analysis. So it's all kind of a holistic realm. So holistic practitioner is probably the best fit.
I know, too, that for me anyway, and forgive me for putting it this way, but using a lot of terminology, I'm curious as to why quantum, because I thought about, and I say this facetiously, using the word quantum in some context in my show, tell me your quantum story. New quantum paradigms for a new quantum world. People just seemed like here in the first 10 years of this century that somehow, when I hear quantum physics, I'm going, what was wrong with the old physics? You know what I'm saying?
Well, the word quantum, it is a very overused word, and the meaning of it is kind of lost a little bit of what it is. The word quantum means the smallest measurable amount of something, okay? So the quantum energy is actually light photons or light particles that have consciousness. So the word quantum energy means light particle energy. That's the basis of it. So the word quantum, people are going to use it to describe something. They're not really using it right. It's just a cool sounding word, okay? People like to name companies quantum this, quantum airlines. There's so many different things that they use it for.
Yeah, which is a whole different airline than Qantas Airlines. Whole different thing.
I think that's what it's talking about.
But in terms of the tools that you have, I know that there must be several different categories, and even in those categories, there are several different tools and so forth. So why don't you break it down for us in terms of the work that you do? And again, you did mention at the front of the program, you do this stuff long distance, obviously using Skype, as we're using here. You don't have to be present. You don't have to fly all the way to Manitoba, Canada, or wherever in Canada you might be to partake or to benefit from the work.
That's right. And what we're going to do before the show is over is I'm going to actually take one of my tools. I'm going to run it through the computer, through the whole server, and people who are listening are going to be able to feel the energy. The nice thing about these tools is that when I'm working on somebody, 99% of the time you feel tingling, pulsing, something moving in your body. You actually feel it happening. And it is, for the most part, instantaneous healing. So we're going to do that before the show is out.
Okay. So tell me about the tools that you have. I mean,
the tools I have, the main tool I like to use is the pyramid. Now, the pyramid itself, if you look at the pyramids of Egypt, there's an energy all about them. They were developed way before the Egyptians. Come on, give me a break. The Egyptians couldn't have built that. The pyramid itself, the way it's structured, will emit a negative ion component, which is a healing ion. Those are the ions that you pick up on a daily basis when you walk barefoot on the ground, okay? So those are a good healing energy. Now, the pyramid itself, it does work through intent. So if you use a pyramid and you give intent to it, like remove virus, neutralize, eliminate, remove any bacteria from the body, at the quantum level, through the pyramid, it's going to happen. Now, the person who makes my tools, let me tell you a little bit about him. He's very unique. We just talked about the whole new consciousness and fifth dimension that's going to be happening. His main job is one person only who makes these tools in Alberta, Canada. The name of the company is Crystalline Incorporated. His main job is to run energy through the Earth grid on an etheric level to clear it of all negativity so that the Earth can proceed and go into this new consciousness. That is his job. Okay, his the way he makes money is that he makes these tools and sells them to various practitioners and stores throughout the world. Okay, so he's very, very high on the energy scale. Basically, he describes when he runs current through the Earth grid, he lies in a bathtub, and it's like taking your finger and putting it in a light socket and leaving it there for 2 hours. That's what he goes through on a daily basis. So the tools itself, okay, the pyramids, the rings I have, they're all coated in 24-karat gold. Gold is a very good conductor for quantum energy. The pyramid itself is loaded up with different quartz crystal spheres, different strengths of magnets. There's rare earth magnets within it. I also use shungite. Shungite is a newer type of healing stone that's been discovered in Russia that has a lot of really good qualities for different things like charging water with minerals, using it for a healing purpose, just like quartz crystals. So now the tool itself, when I use it, so I'm gonna pick it up right now, and what I do is I hold it over a person's head, and I give the intent. So with my pendulum, you come into my clinic and you say, Chris, my blood sugars are at 20 all the time. I got diabetes. So I'm gonna find out what is going on within your body that is causing that. Now the word diabetes, the word fibromyalgia, asthma, those are all words that the medical community has given you to say, here's your symptoms, this is what you fall under. Okay, so I'm going to find out at the root cause, what exactly is your diabetes? Is it a virus in your pancreas? Is it a parasite in your pancreas? Is there something else going on that's causing the insulin to be foul? Whatever it is. So what I do is I hold the pyramid over somebody's head, and let's say it is a virus in your pancreas. So I'll just hold the pyramid over the person's head, say, eliminate the herpes virus within the pancreas, and at the speed of light, it happens, and people will feel a tingling or a pulsing within that area of their body. So now we have to go through various clearings, of course, with different things, but eventually, within maybe two or three sessions, a person's blood sugars, it's possible for them to normalize, depending on what the problem is.
Now, you say this is sort of instantaneous.
Yes.
And obviously, as energy traveling equal to or maybe faster than the speed of light. And that's the other issue, too. When we talk about energy, we talk about light. One of the fascinating things for me, and you mentioned this earlier in the program about this world in which we live, the struggle that I've had or had for a few months as I was doing these programs, I would raise the question of this whole business of why in the world did we choose this crazy dualistic world? We came from the one, we're going back to the one, but here's this way station that's duality, and our job, in a manner of speaking, on the one hand, is to have the experiences. Period. That's one way of looking at it. That's one of some of my guests have said that we're just here to experience what's here. Okay, that's great. The other aspect from some of the more ancient religions, and I should rephrase that, philosophies, because there are some that will dub certain philosophies as religion, and they're not. There's no centralized head to it. It is a philosophy that says that what we're trying to do is get back to the awareness that we are connected, that we are and always have been part of the one. So it's like this whole world that we're living in right now, it's all Maya. It's all an illusion. It's not real. And that's not the intellectual awareness, but the heart awareness that is taught in some of these philosophies that helps us to better sort of maintain a more even keel as we go through our lives and the various events that take place.
Yeah, I've done a lot of thinking about the whole reason. Why are we here? What is it? You know, I've come up with quite a few scenarios. Number one is a game. We're here playing the game of duality. You know, number two is we're here for experiments. There's a lot of aliens, Zeta Reticuli, reptilians, archons. They'll come in and they'll do experiments on our DNA. Okay, I've also heard and thought that we've also been put here as a slave to the Nephilim, which was a being that was here before us. And there's a lot of actual skeletons being discovered all over the world of these 12 and 20 foot beings that are just popping up in the sand as people are doing digs, and that is the Nephilim. They're huge beings, and we were here. They changed the DNA within primitive man to be what we are now, to mine gold for them so they can use the gold. So there's a lot of different scenarios as to why we are here. My firm belief is that we are all a Lemurian society. Our souls, our energy is Lemurian, which is, I believe, in the Pleiades constellation. And what's going to be happening is we're going to come to the realization of this one way, shape, or form, and things are just going to make a lot of sense. The consciousness is going to raise that high that we're going to know exactly what's happening.
Well, I know, too, that raises another specter, if you will, having to do with our origins. I think that my wife put it best when she basically theorized, and I tended to agree with her after I thought about it for a while. There is every other species on the planet is in the environment that is best suited for them. You don't see polar bears on the equator or iguanas in the Arctic. Yet man doesn't seem to be well suited for most of the environments on the planet. And that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Ergo, the theory is we're not indigenous to the planet.
Right.
And so that raises the question, and it's more of a literal physicality type of question, where did we come from? Not the philosophical treatise that some people have pondered. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, like I said, I believe there's a lot of Lumerian content. We all have heard of the Atlanteans and all these different types of beings way before us. My understanding is that we're about the seventh seeding of humanity. So you look at the Mayans, where did they go? The Egyptians, where did they go? Okay, so there have been other humanity seedings here that have come. They ascended. And they're gone. Now here we are going through the same process. So we're going to hit our ascension. Where do we go? Who knows? I guess we'll find out. So you know, there's a lot of speculation. There's a lot of scenarios. There's a lot of different people who kind of work within the same universal realm that I do that come up with a lot of different scenarios, a lot of different ideas of what is really going on. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. We're going to find out one way, shape, or form. So stop asking the question and just live your life and enjoy it a little bit.
I've heard the phrase used, give up the need to know why. Someone said to me with all the questions that I was asking, why don't you save some of those questions to ask in the next life, in terms of eternity? You know, and it's like, well, yeah, and then there'll be no more questions because we'll have all of the answers when we're there, supposedly. I don't know that that's true or not. But nonetheless, it's very interesting. You know, we're also doing a series of programs here on Tell Me Your Story throughout this year dealing with mythology. Every month, we have a different guest on to talk in a very deep context about the myths that the stories that have been told to try to express a certain, say, mores, if you will, the ways that human beings are and how we could be different and so on and so forth. And it's really fascinating because I'm not a student of mythology by any means. I love to converse in regards to philosophy, which is sort of intertwined there. But it's just very fascinating to begin these kinds of conversations. And so I'm wondering, too, in terms of your education, in terms of your background. Now, you said you were born into and grew up in a Mennonite family. And yes. So I'm kind of curious as to what the relationship is today, your relationship today, in regards to where you are now as versus where you were you know, before all of this happened, when you were a Mennonite, and now I would guess you're not.
I certainly am not. I don't follow the lifestyle. A lot of my relatives, they kind of know what I do, and they keep their distance, you know, for the most part. And I understand that, and I don't blame them for it. Everybody's open to their own belief system. And you know, I still talk to relatives. They just won't, you know, get really close to me or even talk about my work, which is perfectly fine. Where do I see myself going with this? You know, only the universe knows. And it's up to me to accept the tasks at hand to go there, okay? And I'm perfectly willing. I'm on the bus, baby. Let's go do this. I just want to get deep into this and know exactly what's happening. One way that I know for sure that this whole consciousness shift and the whole new reality is coming in is that the work that I'm doing on a daily basis, I use my pendulum with my guides, and I do channel Nikola Tesla. I do channel Nostradamus. They all come in and they help me out. I also work with Christ, with God, and I go even above God. There are beings that in the heavenly realm that are above, okay? So I do channel all these that they talk through the pendulum and they give me answers. They give me direction. And just by the level that I'm starting to clear people at is really telling me that the whole consciousness is rising within the planet and within the universe, and we're able to get more information, more answers to actually go in deep and do the clearings. So that to me is just proof positive that things are going forward. They're getting better. We're starting to get more knowledge.
And I'm also wondering, too, about some of your own personal experiences. My mother asked me not too long ago if I had ever had any supernatural or spiritual experiences, and I honestly could not identify any one of them because I guess I'm aware of so many different possibilities that if it had happened, it was a normal occurrence to me.
Let me tell you about a couple of people I've worked on, okay? One of them is very recent. It was last week. This lady came into my clinic, and she's had this pain in her abdomen for about 15 years. It's a real nagging pain. Sometimes it's sharp, sometimes it's dull. So she went through the whole medical system. They took out her uterus. They took out her gallbladder. They did this surgery, and still the pain is there. Okay, so she came in to see me and says, okay, you know what? I'm ready for this. Let's find out what this is. So I start doing my dowsing, and I find a Zeta Reticuli alien within her. I find some voodoo spells. But then I find Lucifer, okay? Sure enough, I find Lucifer, and I find Lucifer in almost everybody. We've all got this connection. Anyway, so I start removing Lucifer from her lower bowel, and she looks at me and says, the pain just moved to the other side of my body. And I says, okay, we're chasing him now. So then I remove it from the other bowel. It goes up to her small intestine. She says, it just moved up to my stomach. I says, okay, now we got him cornered. So then I removed him from her entire body, and immediately her pain went away. So that, to me, is absolute proof positive that these energies exist. They are there. They cause problems within us. So that's one story. The other story I want to tell you about is I have a 2.5-year-old son, and a year ago when he's cutting his teeth, he's teething like crazy. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. He is freaking out. And my wife looks at me. I got remarried, and we've got kids now. My life has completely turned around. So my wife looks at me and says, okay, Mr. Healer, do something. So I go to my charts, and I pull out my pendulum. And it spells out for me on a letter chart. I got a letter chart from A to Z, and it spells out the words, ask Garthens to wrap him in a blanket of compassion. Okay, let's do it. So I take my pyramid, hold it over my son, and I says, our Garthens, please wrap Joshua in a blanket of compassion. In 1.1 seconds, he jumped off the bed, started laughing and playing. My wife looked at me and says, I now believe what you do.
Well, I know, too, that's kind of hard for family members when you start dabbling in this area and this is what you do and what you've chosen. There's a certain element of and what's been chosen for you, in a manner of speaking, which kind of takes us into a little different direction, because you talked about intuition before, and that each one of us, as I have shared, needs to start listening to. However, listening is not enough. You then have to start following, doing what the voice is telling you to do. It raises an interesting paradox between destiny, predestination, if you will, and free will or choice. Can you talk a little bit about your perspective on that?
Yeah, we've all got this kind of path set out for us by the universe, okay? So my path was to become this healer at a certain time in my life and to follow through with it, and I chose to do it. Now, when this came to me, I could have made the free will choice to say, nah, I'm going to go to the bar and have a beer. I could have made that choice. But you know what? It really felt that I needed to do this. I just felt so strongly attracted, like a magnet, towards, researching this and doing it, that nothing else mattered. I didn't even have to think about it. It was just like, yes, let's do it. At the time, I was taking a course to be a personal trainer, just for something to do. I've always been into going into the gym and working out. And I thought this would be something good to do. I can make a few bucks and spend some time. But I dropped all that. I already paid for the courses, and I dropped it all, and I went the other way. So I made the free will choice to do it, plus I listened to my intuition. And I always tell people, when you get some kind of intuitive thought, always think with your heart. Does your heart feel good when you think about doing it? And if it feels wrong, don't do it. Because quite often, our intuition can be influenced by the dark side or Satan, that type of thing. There's lots of dark entities around us that want to coerce us into doing something bad. Why does somebody take a gun and go shoot somebody in the head all of a sudden out of the blue? Okay, there is dark forces that drive us to do certain things. And that person made the conscious choice to do it because he listened.
It's interesting how, matter of fact, that was sort of a challenge to me by one of my guests when I was talking about the still small voice and following. And they made the comment to me. They said, yeah, but there are people who have all kinds of voices in their head. So you kind of have to find out where that voice is coming from. Of course, you know, when I speak of this, it's more along the lines of that gut feeling that you have, that I've had situations where I'm traveling down a path and I'm getting the gut feeling that, okay, I need to turn right here. And I don't. And I had a situation where I went half a mile down the road and I ended up turning around and going back. And now, of course, the right is now a left. And I make the turn and I go up and then I go back across the city again. I get to my destination in plenty of time. I'm not late or anything. And of course, I have no knowledge of why I was guided to do that. Did I miss a potential accident that I could have been in? Or was this a test of sorts to say, hey, are you really listening and are you serious about following?
I get that quite often with my pendulum. I'll just sit there and I'll ask questions of it. You know, give me a message, please, or give me some direction, and they'll tell me to do something. Nothing bad, of course, and they'll see if I do it. And they're testing me. Okay, my guides will test me, and you know, all the realm that I'm working with will see if I'm willing to do something. So you get these different inklings to do something, to turn left or right. You know, you come to the fork in the road, which way do you go? How do you make that decision? Oh, it feels better for me if I turn right. It feels right to turn right. So you go with that gut feeling, ask your heart. A lot of us think mind-heart, which is trying to think logically. How does this stuff work? How, on a logical, scientific level, how does it work? You can't think that way. You have to think heart-mind. So you're going to feel good about the decision you make instead of, does it make sense to do this certain thing?
Exactly. It's a very interesting, sort of, it seems like a bit of a paradox, because I know that in the last, say, 10, 15 years, there's been a bit of a resurgence in individuality and liberty and freedom and privacy. And I came to the realization many, many years ago, there is no privacy. Not because of technology, mind you, but because if God already knows, what difference does it make if 7 billion other people know? And besides, most of them don't care. I mean, think about that. I mean, if the universal mind, if we want to call it that, already knows everything about you, and I'm not talking about the NSA, folks, then, you know, and you're connected. You know what I'm saying? You're connected. You are listening to and following the promptings. You're living on purpose. You're doing the work that you were called to do, as you are doing. It seems to me like none of that matters. It's irrelevant. And from my perspective, it's irrelevant. Your thoughts?
Basically, it is. Now, if you look at the governments, okay, and that's what it all really revolves around. You know, of course, they want to know what's going on in their backyard. Is there terrorism going on? Is there a conspiracy about this and that? What's going to happen? I think the governments are more afraid of what they got, and you know, they don't need to know. They're just afraid, so they want to watch their back a little bit. You know, so I think they've got some demons to clear out themselves. Yeah, in all reality, come on, who needs to know what color underwear I'm wearing? Really, my Facebook, who needs to know exactly what's going on? I don't put my whole life on Facebook or anything like that. If anybody wants to ask me a question, give me a phone call. I'll answer your questions. But to know everything that's going on with security, you know what? Maybe there is some things we need to know. Maybe there's a lot of things we don't want to know.
I couldn't agree with you more on that. I just, like I said, it's very interesting that you know, people who are not awake are so concerned, of course, about this. And I have to say that over the 35 years that I've been interviewing people, I probably shared so much about my life that if somebody were following those interviews, they could write an unauthorized autobiography.
Exactly. And you know, with the work I'm doing, there's a lot of people in the same industry, let's call it, who are like, oh, you'd never say in public that you can cure cancer. You never say you have the cure for cancer. That's a death wish. I don't give a damn. If I can cure cancer out of somebody, I'm going to let people know it. And if somebody wants to come after me, well, you better have a damn big bat because you're going to have a problem on your hands. You know what? Fear runs our society. Everything is fear. Okay? The fear of the government, the fear of the IRS, the fear of losing your job, the fear of what's going to happen tomorrow if I don't pay my bills. Everything is fear-driven. If you're going to be in fear that if you say something wrong or say something to the wrong person that you're going to be in trouble for it, well, then don't say anything at all. Just don't live in fear.
Couldn't agree with you more on that. This is very interesting. Now, if someone was wanting to get in touch with you, what would that process be? What would they need to do? How would they get a hold of you?
Very simple. You can go to my website. It's chriskehler.net, chriskehler.net. Don't do chriskehler.com. That's another Chris Kehler. He got .com before I did. So it's chriskehler.net. My email address is on there. The phone number to my clinic is on there. If you call me tomorrow, I will get back to you tomorrow. I'm very easy to get a hold of. I'm also on YouTube. I've got over 100 different videos on YouTube that describe my philosophies and demonstrate the work that I do. So if you just go on YouTube/ Chris Kaler, you will see all my videos.
And in terms of what people can expect, I guess what do they need to come to you with in terms of, say, a mental or even a spiritual, say, mindset, a perspective?
All you really got to be is open-minded. And if you're open-minded enough to call me in the first place, you're open-minded enough to hear what I have to say to you. You know, to a lot of people, I tell them, hey, you've got the devil inside of you. And to most people, that would be jaw-dropping. But everybody's like, yeah, okay, no problem, move it out. And that is basically all you need, just an open mind and to be able to talk a little bit about what you're going through. And that's it. And my pendulum and my guides find the problems. We use the tools and we move them out. Simple as that.
Interesting stuff. So, in terms of your future, in terms of where you're going next, have you anything in particular that is emerging from all of this, in terms of a book, in terms of maybe some new tools for the modalities and energy work that you're doing?
I think where I want to venture down eventually is teaching people how to do this, doing the awakenings, you know, helping people to realize how to take. You can buy these tools on my website. I sell them. They're not very expensive at all. So you can go on my website and look at them. So I want to be able to show families how you can heal within your family as a little community, and that way you can take care of yourself. You don't have to, you know, come to somebody like me or somebody who does Reiki or quantum touch or anything like that. You can heal within the family. It is actually very easy once you get to learn how to do it. Now, it took me a good 5 years to learn how to get where I am now, but I had to teach myself. So if you have somebody like me who's coming in and showing you all the tricks that I had to learn, it is not that difficult to do if you're intuitive enough and you know how to work with your intuition. So I want to get into that realm. I want to maybe do some speaking engagements and just bring the knowledge and the education about all of this work and the philosophies to light so that people can have the realization and be able to make that the conscious choice. Do I want to treat my cancer with chemotherapy, or do I want to use energy and natural supplements to make my body well?
I was just going to ask you had, because you had mentioned that you were now delving into that aspect in terms of nutrition. What are you finding there in terms of the various things that you're being led to recommend to people for various conditions?
What I look into, as well as doing the energy work, I also work with minerals. Okay, our bodies are mineral driven. If you haven't got the right mineral balances in your body, it can cause an array of different problems. The zinc and copper balance is very crucial. Sodium and potassium, of course, is very crucial in your body. So I also look with my pendulum, and I'll check the levels of different minerals in your body to see what the deficiencies are. Now, very important to know that too much of a good thing is too much of a good thing. So let's, for instance, people who are taking calcium supplements. Do you really need that calcium supplement? Because too much calcium in your body will clog up your veins and arteries. It'll get into your muscles and cause cramping. So you have to know, what do you really need? Now, most women, you're over 50, well, you know, society says, I have to have calcium or I'm going to get osteoporosis. 9 times out of 10, you don't need the calcium. You're going to need a supplement to help it absorb, like magnesium or silica, in order for it to absorb. A lot of people are iron deficient. So they go to the doctor and they'll do the testing and they'll say, you're anemic, you need iron. Here, take this iron. So now you've been taking this iron for over a year and all of a sudden you've got migraine headaches, you've got pain in your liver area, your muscles hurt, you got different things going on, you're constipated. And it's not the iron you needed, you needed the supplement to help it absorb into your body, which is copper. If your body's deficient in copper, your body is not going to absorb the iron. So there's some very, very crucial balances that are played out within your body with minerals. Vitamins, on the other hand, your body can make the vitamins if you have the right mineral components within your body. So I like to, you know, look at minerals, make sure that your nutrition is balanced properly. Are you getting enough omega-3s? Are you getting enough minerals, enough enzymes? Are you eating the right foods? So I look at that area also, not just the spiritual end of things.
Before we wrap up the program, let me ask you, who is Chris Kaler?
Who is Chris Kaler? I'm a father. I'm a new father. My daughter is 8 weeks old. I'm a drummer in a band. Okay, I love doing that. I'm a healer. I'm somebody who cares about your health. I'm somebody who wants to spread the word about all of this cool stuff. And I'm somebody who wants to go out and have fun and enjoy life.
And what is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you're doing now?
I just want people to realize that there's something better out there than just going to the doctor and getting a pill. I have worked with a lot of doctors so far who are also along the same mindset, that they know that there's holistic ways to treat a health problem. And I really want to be able to say, look, I can cure cancer, I can cure diabetes, asthma, all these things are easily done. And I just want to be the person that people look up to and contact for those types of problems.
And who inspires you?
Who inspires me? Wow, that's a very deep question. I get a lot of inspiration from Christ. I get a lot of inspiration from God. My spirit guides are very inspirational. The fellow who makes my tools in Alberta, Wayne, he inspires me a lot also. So a lot of the higher spiritual type of energies really take me somewhere. My 2.5-year-old son really inspires me.
I want to thank you so much for taking the time to share with us here on the program, and I really do appreciate your story and encourage people to get in touch with you. Give us that website one more time.
The website is chriskaler.net.
Spell Kaler for us.
K-E-H-L-E-R, and you can say it with a Mennonite drawl if you like.
I don't know what that is, so I won't. Chris, again, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Richard.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.